Cirrus provides an update on the jet. The FAA's international reputation is weathering its scandals. And Southwest Airlines took really good care of one FAA inspector. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, May 9th, 2008. Cirrus Design has updated ANN on its progress developing its very light jet, which has yet to be named. It's been almost a year since Cirrus publicly unveiled a full-scale mock-up for its single turbofan, the Jet. Time has flown, and while the same can't yet be said of the prototype, the company says much has been accomplished. In a recent update to customers, the company wrote, quote, "On the threshold of the next milestone, first flight, we are in a good position to share with you a number of key accomplishments and milestones since we presented our vision that special evening last June," unquote. Cirrus says its 125-member advanced development group is hard at work validating the original design parameters and constructing the first flying prototype. The team has expanded into a 200,000-square-foot facility at Duluth International Airport that was once home to Northwest Airlines maintenance. Testing continues on the fuselage, engine mount, and wing and tail attach points. The test airframe has been outfitted with hundreds of load-measuring strain gauges. To address concerns some have had about the durability of a V-tail, a test empennage has been undergoing tests at 200% loads. The company recently took delivery of its first flight-ready Williams FJ-33 engine, which will power the prototype. The prototype's landing gear has been cycled, and a 30% scale model has been tested in the wind tunnel at the Langley Full-Scale Tunnel in Hampton, Virginia. As for time frame, Advanced Development Group Vice Presidents Mike Van Staggen and Steve Serfling note they want to get it right the first time. Quote, "Our approach requires much patience, and it also helps to ensure that we reach our goals in a steady, measured way. Indeed, this is the guiding principle of our program," unquote. If you've kept up on news coverage around the U.S. the past few months, you could come away very disillusioned with the Federal Aviation Administration. The administration's attempt to ram a square user fee peg into a round political hole, a constant stream of embarrassing charges from unions representing inspectors and air traffic controllers, and recent revelations of major gaps in airline oversight, followed by draconian groundings that stranded hundreds of thousands of passengers, all make the agency and its acting administrator look like the Keystone Cops. With the exception of everywhere else in the world, that is. The New York Times reports the FAA is still held up as a shining example by aviation regulators worldwide for one simple reason, the world's best safety record. The Times notes that regulation in the rapidly growing Asia-Pacific region, where passenger traffic grew 7% just in the last year, is a patchwork. The European Union now holds individual countries to a higher European bloc standard, yet still has an accident rate far higher than the United States. In Africa, airliners crash once in every 244,000 flights. That's about six times the worldwide average. There are many reasons for the disparity. In many areas, growth in air travel is outstripping the supply of qualified mechanics. Regulators are underpaid or corrupt, and top people in relatively poor countries are lured away for higher-paying jobs in the industry. Wolfgang Didson, a retired vice president for airworthiness at Airbus, who's now a consultant to the Air Safety Authority of the United Arab Emirates, told the Times that he doesn't understand the recent uproar over the FAA. Quote, "I don't think the FAA's image has suffered from this, but I do think everybody feels a bit sorry for them," unquote. Well, okay, everybody except NATCA, PASS, AOPA, NBAA, 300,000 stranded American Airlines passengers. Those allegations of cozy relationships between the airlines and their FAA inspectors have been somewhat abstract, until now. USA Today reports the manager of the federal office that oversees Southwest Airlines accepted thousands of dollars in free pilot training from the carrier. The FAA told the paper Wednesday the arrangement violates its rules of conduct. This is not a case of a single rogue employee. The FAA admitted the training program had been approved by regional officials and had been in place for years. FAA spokeswoman Diane Spitaleri says the agency has now stopped the program and the individual supervisor's training is a matter under investigation. The paper identified the supervisor as FAA manager Bobby Hedlund. According to recent testimony before Congress from three current and former FAA officials, Hedlund was promoted last year to head the Southwest office and received months of training in 2005 that qualified him to fly the Boeing 737. FAA inspectors often receive training to stay current, but it's normally done at the FAA's expense. Robert Nakachi, who worked in the Southwest office until he retired last year, called the free training provided Headland, quote, the most flagrant conflict of interest that I have ever witnessed in my 20-year career in the federal government, unquote. USA Today got estimates from flight schools that the training would have cost a private citizen $15,000 or more. Its career value as a resume line is an additional benefit harder to quantify. The paper says Headland did not return its phone calls, but Southwest spokeswoman Beth Harbin confirmed the training and added regarding charges it created a conflict of interest, quote, we certainly don't agree, unquote. Commander Premier Aircraft Corporation announced on Wednesday its board of directors will consider responsible offers to purchase the company after receiving inquiries. CPAC was formed in 2005 by 50 owners of Commander Aircraft to acquire the assets of the bankrupt Commander Aircraft Company, the former manufacturer of the plane. CPAC intended to build new planes and provide parts and service to the existing fleet of about 1,000 Commanders. In the interim, CPAC provided FAA annual inspection, maintenance, and repair services to Commander owners, as well as parts it acquired from CAC. In March last year, following an FAA audit of its quality control system, CPAC received parts manufacturer approval from the FAA, but it had not yet produced any complete aircraft. Production facilities are in place at Cape Girardeau Regional Airport, but the company acknowledged what it called the general paralysis of the financing market in announcing its openness to being acquired. Quote, prompted by recent purchase inquiries, CPAC's board of directors approved CPAC announcing that it would consider responsible offers for the purchase of all or a controlling interest in CPAC, unquote. Up next on ANN, how did F-14 cockpits wind up at somebody's house in New Jersey? Families of lost RAF airmen get an opportunity for closure. And the Boeing Northrop heavyweight bout continues. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 9th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The theft of scrap metal is a growing problem across the country, but this one's a little over the top. Investigators are trying to figure out how three jet fighter cockpits, two from F-14s and one from an F-18, got diverted from their normal demilitarization process and wound up in private hands. The Asbury Park Press in New Jersey reports the U.S. Navy showed up on Apple Farm Road in Middletown with a forklift, a flatbed, and about 20 troops from the Naval Weapons Station Earl, where Special Agent Terry O'Connor of the Naval Criminal Investigative Service told the paper the cockpits will be held as evidence. Investigators did not identify who had the cockpits or the exact address. O'Connor downplayed the military value of the cockpits, saying they were fully demilitarized and no longer contained weapons, control systems, or other technically sensitive material. Quote, even their wiring had been removed. These are items that could be sold as scrap or even used as displays or simulators. They were removed somewhere along the way and we're trying to determine when and how that happened, unquote. O'Connor said the cockpits weigh between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds each. So far, nobody's been charged with a crime. Ahead of a formal inquest into the explosion of a Royal Air Force Nimrod MR-2 reconnaissance plane over Afghanistan, this week the families of the 14 lost servicemen examined an identical aircraft to learn more about what likely led to the accident. As ANN reported, an RAF inquiry into the accident determined a probable fuel leak combined with inadequate fire suppression systems on board that 37-year-old plane led to the explosion on September 2, 2006. The aircraft had conducted air-to-air refueling shortly before fires were reported. Witnesses on the ground told investigators they saw a small fire near the back of the Nimrod before flames enveloped the aircraft. The Guardian reports the victims' families visited RAF Breeze Norton on Tuesday, where they saw a Nimrod on display, as well as a partly stripped engine. They returned to the courtroom Wednesday to hear the cockpit recording of the aircraft's final moments. The Nimrod's crew sent out a mayday soon after the fires broke out, according to BBC News, and tried to make an emergency landing before the aircraft exploded. In an unusual step last December, the Ministry of Defense took responsibility for the accident, following revelations of substandard maintenance and inspection protocols on that aging aircraft. Defense Secretary Des Brown also made a formal public apology. Oxfordshire Deputy Coroner Andrew Walker is handling an inquest which will determine compensation for those who lost family members in the accident. The proceeding is expected to involve about 40 witnesses and take about 3 weeks to complete. Boeing and Northrop Eads exchanged blows again this week in their ongoing war of words over their KC-767 and KC-45A aerial refueling aircraft. Boeing is waiting for a ruling from the GAO on its challenge to the decision in February by the U.S. Air Force to award a lucrative tanker contract to its rival. In its latest statement, Boeing claims its offering was better optimized to the parameters originally spelled out by the KCX bid. But then, it says, the Air Force changed the rules to make the larger Northrop Eads offering more competitive. Not surprisingly, Northrop Eads disputes Boeing's assertion that its plane is less efficient and more costly. Quote, the Air Force concluded that Northrop Grumman's development and production costs were lower, and the total life cycle cost, which includes development, procurement, military construction, and operations and support for each system, would be about the same. Accordingly, the Northrop Grumman KC-45 offered significantly more capability for the same cost, thus providing the Air Force and taxpayer with the best value, unquote. The Government Accountability Office is set to rule on Boeing's protest by June 19th. After the U.S. presidential election is over, expect to start hearing lots of news about carbon emission caps. European Union lawmaker Peter Liese told Reuters he has spoken to advisors for the three candidates in the U.S. race, and all appeared eager to at least discuss the EU's plan, which involves a proposed worldwide cap on greenhouse emissions, as well as controversial carbon trading schemes. Proposals to adopt limits on CO2 emissions are now being drafted in Brussels, and lawmakers are pushing for similar measures to be adopted or imposed worldwide. Critics have accused the EU of trying to overstep its bounds and its borders in calling for global caps. The European Parliament will vote at the end of May to include airliners in its emissions trading scheme starting in 2012, but Liese wants even tougher standards. He wants airlines to start paying for carbon credits a year early and to pay for 25% of their permits to emit CO2 instead of the 10% called for under the current proposal. Still ahead, NATA says aviation is doing its part to control carbon emissions. A former Cessna chairman now chairs the AOPA Air Safety Foundation Board of Visitors. And NASA will let you borrow used space shuttle tires. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, May 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. National Air Transportation Association President James Coyne testified this week before the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Aviation at a hearing entitled Aviation and the Environment, Emissions. The hearing examined the impact of aviation activities on the environment and how stakeholders can reduce or mitigate their impact. Coyne highlighted the NATA Environmental Committee's Climate Initiative that includes purchasing carbon offsets for flight operations and best management practices to reduce energy consumption for businesses providing aviation ground handling services. He also reviewed the actions taken by two NATAM members, NetJets and DayJet, explaining how both organizations have incorporated measures to reduce their carbon footprints. NetJets' program focuses on offsetting carbon emissions from NetJets flights, while also reducing the carbon footprint of operations worldwide. Its initiative includes a substantial investment in technology research to create an ultra-low emission jet fuel. Coyne noted that DayJet utilizes Eclipse 500 very light jets in its air carrier service, which are inherently more efficient than larger planes and have a more favorable environmental footprint. Find Coyne's full testimony from a link in the print version of this story on our website at www.aero-news.net. Continuing its legacy of influential leaders, the AOPA Air Safety Foundation Board of Visitors welcomed its new chairman, Russell W. Meyer, Jr., chairman emeritus of Cessna Aircraft Company, at the board's meeting last week in Frederick, Maryland. Foundation Executive Director Bruce Landsberg observed, quote, "Russ's selection will bring new opportunities to expand visibility of the Air Safety Foundation to the industry and general aviation pilots. Up until a few years ago, the Air Safety Foundation was one of the better-kept secrets for helping new and experienced pilots in safety education. That has changed with the advent of the Internet and the strong increase in funding that has allowed the foundation to produce more than 20 online courses while maintaining more than 200 free safety seminars open to all pilots on a national basis," unquote. The Board of Visitors serves in an advisory capacity for the foundation. The gavel was passed to Meyer from departing chair and former FAA Administrator David R. Hinson, who had led the group since 1997. With the help of the Space Shuttle program, NASA this week kicked off its new Artifact Loan Opportunities program, which will help organizations borrow NASA artifacts for education and outreach purposes. The first artifacts available are main landing gear tires from space shuttles. The tires, which include some flown on missions, are available to proposing organizations that NASA determines best meet the agency's education and public outreach goals. Organizations interested in proposing uses for loaned shuttle tires should be external to NASA and may include museums, schools, civic groups, and others. The long-term loan of these tires may be used to educate, inspire, or inform the public about NASA's scientific and technological achievements through art, sculpture, furniture, building structures, exhibits, or other innovative uses. The deadline for proposals on this initial opportunity is July 11th. You can get details by visiting www.nasa.gov and then just type loan opportunities in the search box. And finally, you just knew we'd be reporting this someday soon. The U.S. Air Force is searching for an unmanned aerial vehicle it launched this week near the Central Florida city of Ocala. Channel 6 in Orlando reports the Air Force was conducting training exercises on Tuesday afternoon about 4 p.m. when its AeroVironment RQ-11B Raven ignored commands, turned east, and flew off at about 60 miles an hour. It's thought the craft may have landed in the Ocala National Forest. Anyone who comes across the plane, which sports a 6-foot wingspan, is asked to contact the Ocala Police Department. And above all, the Air Force urges the owners of RC model aircraft, please, please, keep them indoors when they're in heat. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll get a really clear explanation of the ADS-B controversy from author, general aviation advocate, and 2008 National CFI of the Year, Max Trescott. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.